Blog Talk Radio.
Listen, cha-cha-cha to this Mardi Gras. I'm the dopest female that you've heard thus far. And I do get better, the voice gets wetter. Nobody gets hurt,
as long as you let her
do my thing with an 89 swing. The dopeness I write, I guarantee delight. Until the hip-hop maniac, the uptown brainiac in full effect, MC Light is back. And better than before, as if that was possible. My competition, you'll find them in the hospital. Visiting time, I think it's on a Sunday. But notice, they only get one day to shine. The rest of the week is mine. And I'll blind you with the science that the others have yet to find. So come along and I'll lead you the right way. Just clap your hands to the words I say. Come on. I got the power to spit out and devour at the same time. I'll eat you up with a rhyme, but I'll let you slide because you accidentally hopped on the wrong side. Now come on, that's suicide. Hypothetically speaking, okay, let's say you didn't know what you were doing. You're new in town and you're looking around for another name to ruin. And it's me that you're pursuing? Well, 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 I'll be damned. I might as well tell you who I am. I am the capital L-Y-T-E. And it's shocking, I'm the one you're mocking. Oh yeah, I've been watching you. Watching me like the fat on your back. It's plain to see that you're a wannabe. But you can't be what you're not. So you better start living with what you got.
Welcome to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Podcast. It is I, Puma, along with Ice Water, giving you 90 minutes of overtime. Just wrapped up our first 40 show on YouTube. We'll be putting up that later on tonight. You'll catch it either late night if you're a night owl like me, or early in the morning on our Facebook page, the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Ice Water, how you doing, man?
I'm scared, bro. Now I'm scared. I don't know. Scared.
You scared? What are you scared for?
They just announced that the NBA has suspended the rest of their season, man.
No, you come on, don't do that. Don't
I promise
don't make up stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Hey, Rudy Gobert from Utah tested positive for the virus, bro.
Get out of here.
Yeah, they just announced. They just put that out there, bro.
Get out of here. Wow.
Suspended indefinitely.
Wow. So the whole NBA?
That's what they said, bro. Whole NBA. Just,
come on, man, because I'm flicking my TV, bro. Come on, man.
Dude, go online, bro. Go online. Check it out. Go online. You know, I'll try to take you nowhere.
Yeah, I see
it. It ain't real. There you go. Come on now. Come on, man. Come on now. You know, I ain't trying to steer you wrong.
Yeah. Look, I see it. Wow.
I'm making my cocktail right now. My orange juice and my soda right now.
See, I got my
I'm making my cocktail
yeah,
right now.
I got my
now.
Tea. Yeah, I got, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
right. Wow.
Yeah. Hey, and washing my hands. I'm trying to tell you.
Washing my hands, feet, and everything else I need to wash.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Wow. We were talking on the first 40, man, that you know, the NBA, you know, with inviting folks into these arenas could be liable. And Black was saying, no, they can't be liable. But my thing is that if you're knowingly – having people in a place where they can contract something or some harm can be done to them, you could be liable. If you're knowingly letting them kind of, even though they bought their ticket and everything, you can be liable. And this is an unprecedented case where folks can come back and really kind of take you to task in court and really kind of destroy your brand for not protecting the public. Because even though people are paying their money, in my opinion, if you know that there's something in there that can harm them and you go along with it anyway and they get harmed, you know, I didn't go to law school, but I know a little bit about law. you can be liable. It's almost like you go into a store and go into somebody's store and there's something there that can harm your patrons and they get harmed and they sue you or slip on something that's wet. Even though you put the signs out there, you can be liable. Well, what's your thoughts about this, man? Because this is getting crazy.
Yeah, I thought it would take something like this for them to kind of walk away from it. And when one of your players tests positive, then it puts everybody at risk. But I do agree with that. I still think that they will put a clause in there to say that you enter at your own risk. That way you already know you don't have to go. But when you're just doing it because you want to make money is one thing. But if you say that you tell people they're going in at their own risk and they know the warning before they walk in, then it's kind of up on them. But I've never seen anything like this. It's unprecedented. And, it's the fact that one of the players tested positive, and it's like, wow. So I don't think they had any choice because you really did want to try to keep this under wraps. And for him to be sick, you just don't know how it will spread to whoever else. So, you know, the commissioner's kind of like, let's do it right now. Let's go ahead and move forward. So, wow. That is literally shocking to me.
So I guess March Madness is a wrap. If the NBA does this, then March Madness is pretty much a wrap.
I ain't going with that just yet, bro. Look, this is NCAA. That's the NBA. And nobody's so far from the NCAA that we know has tested positive. Do we? Have you heard any cases?
No, not that we know of. Because, you know, the White House doesn't have enough kits to test everybody, so... the way I read and hear it, people could be walking around with it and they don't know it for like 14 to 21 days.
NCAA going to ride it till the wheels fall off, baby. You know, that's how they roll.
All right, man. Any other stories overlapping into our 90-minute overtime show that you want to bring out from the first 40?
Now, that was enough. That the fact that we put that out there to let you folks know that NBA is doing what they did very quickly. It's like, wow. And the thing about it, too, when you look at it, I'm not saying that it makes a difference, but in a way you got to look at it from this standpoint. There are only 18 games really about left in the season, right?
Yes, that's right. That's
only 18 games. So they could take this time off, see if it gets any better. And even if they take time off and they were to say, literally, we're not playing again and we are playing the way we play, and that's the playoffs. It would be the worst thing in the world. I mean, some teams might be mad, but it is what it is. And I think their main thing is, let's see how this thing plays out. We might play some more games. We may not. But the question for them is going to be, can we get ready and play the playoffs? So if you take off so many weeks to get everything under control, get people tested, take off 4 weeks, because I think the playoffs start maybe April 15th. So
somewhere around here, right after March Madness.
Right, you're looking about a month, right? You take a month,
test
people, and see how this virus goes, and then you go in the playoffs. I can see it. A month, you're taking the precautions. I'd be very surprised if they did not play playoffs unless they saw this became more of an epidemic in the league. So this is not the end of the world for them. It will cost them some money, but the precaution of taking a month off and then starting the playoffs to see how this thing plays out is not a bad idea. Plus, it gives them reputation so people will come back and watch the games if that's what they want to do.
Now, what does it say to the other teams who needed those 18 games to try to get a playoff spot or to improve their playoff spot in the NBA? How do you think they would react, man?
I'm sure they're going to be ticked off because they thought they had opportunity. But you had opportunity before these games. You had opportunity in the 62 games previously. So things happen, and they played with shortened season. I remember before when they had a shortened season, and then they went into the playoffs. Actually, it was better basketball because you had to play right away. And actually, that was a strike shortened season where they started late. But it was better basketball. But, yeah, for those that say, we get an opportunity. You had an opportunity. You had 62 games or whatever it is prior to now, and you didn't play. So get ready for the lottery, bro. if you didn't make it.
And, yeah.
It's what it is. You can't. I mean, honestly, you can't blame. Who else can you blame for you not coming together? I mean, all you can do is play the hands you dealt.
Yeah, and I think this will have an impact on the teams that Utah played and Gobert played against, and maybe in the last couple of weeks. And everybody there has to be tested. It's almost like, I kind of thought about when Urban Magic Johnson announced that he had HIV and how the NBA reacted to that. There are players who didn't want to play, be on the same court with him, Karl Malone, and other players that, didn't want to be on the court. And there's a lot of misinformation going on. And, things had to settle down before players even wanted to have Magic on the court. So this is going to be really crazy. I'm sitting here watching Denver and Dallas. They got a little over 7 minutes left in the game, but they were showing highlights from the Sacramento-Utah game, and there are still fans sitting in the seats kind of just bewildered. I'd be like trying to get out of there, but waiting to see if something else going to happen. And I'm like, whoa, But my thing is, man, they knew this. They found this out just today. And they had to know this before the game started. Am I right?
Yeah, definitely. But then, again, if you come at it like this, then you start to panic, and they don't want to do that. Then you start to panic. So they try to do it quietly. And now they said it's suspended indefinitely. It'll probably get him tested again, and he probably might not play the rest of the year because they don't know what's going on there. But they try to get everybody else tested and take the time to do it. Like I said, at the end of the day, it's about the postseason. We know that. That's where they make their money. Most of those guys are on that low management rest anyway for 18 games. So the only teams that we'll really be worrying about it would be those who were trying, as you said, try to make the playoffs that last run. But overall, like I said, it is what it is. Let's take a break. Let's test everybody. Playoffs.
So you think they'll test everybody in the NBA?
What, you for something? I mean, yeah. I mean, make it available. I would. Why wouldn't you? You got 4 weeks. You don't want to spread
it.
Because he has it. Huh?
Yeah, his teammates might have it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I'm talking about everybody.
And then teams that played again.
You have 4 weeks, man. You have how many doctors? You're not talking about a week. We said 4 weeks. Do your due diligence. Make sure your players are healthy. And then tell the people, here, we've tested everyone. We only found one case. That was him.
Wow.
You had the time. You had the money and the resources. Do the right thing, get everything cleared up, and tell people we're going back to work because that's the only case we saw in the NBA. And quarantine, whatever they need to do.
I think this is going to have a big impact on college basketball. I really do. I really do. The fans and all that. Because, say, for instance, I'm just throwing this out here. He tests positive, and then you have some fans in that arena that test positive, then I think that's going to be the other shoe to drop. And it will justify maybe them not having any fans in the arena, or justify just and I would hate for them to do it, but if they say, you know what, we're going to cancel it this year because of this epidemic, then. That's the way it'd be. But we were talking on the first 40, and you're like, there's no way the NCAA will cancel the season, especially March Madness.
They will cancel it if people test positive. If you have a bunch of cases, if you see more players like this, you say, hey, we just found out that so many people have it, then that's how they're going to roll. But if not, I think they're showing you, we're playing. You can watch it on TV, but we're going to get that money. But if you have some players that are infected and they are tested positive, then they're like, okay, we'll cancel it then. But until they're forced to, NCAA is already showing you. They've already done the due diligence. They let the games be played today in the conference tournaments, Big Ten and other places with fans. Starting tomorrow, no fans. And that's what they're going to do. They say we're trying to minimize it, but the games are going to be played. If they really care, they would do exactly what you said. They would cancel the rest of them, wouldn't they?
Or postpone it. Or postpone it until we get a handle on this. Because nobody really – the doctors are still trying to figure this out. So, at least postpone it until people can get a handle on what's really going on and how it's spreading and all this other stuff. But, Americans love their sports, so we will see. You saw Italy kind of shut everything down. So I don't know if we're going to go that route, but we'll take a break and we'll come back. And instead of talking about the virus, let's talk a little bit about basketball right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. We'll be back.
I get the storybook. Y'all tucked in? Here we go. Once upon a time, not long ago, when people wore pajamas and lived life slow, where laws were stern and justice stood, and people were behaving like they ought to good, there lived a little boy who was misled by another little boy, and this is what he said. Me and you tonight, we're gonna make some cash, robbing old folks and making the dash. They did the job, money came with ease, but one couldn't stop, it's like he had a disease. He robbed another and another and a sister and a brother. Tried to rob a man who was a DC undercover. The cop grabbed his arm, he started acting erratic. He said, "Keep still, boy, no need for static." Punched him in his belly and he gave him a slap. But little did he know, the little boy was strapped. The kid pulled out a gun, he said, "Why'd you hit me?" The barrel was set straight for the cop's kidney. The cop got scared, the kid he thought to figure, "I'll do years if I pull this trigger." So he cold dashed and ran around a block. Cop radios into another lady.
Welcome back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Up to date news. The NBA looking to suspend the rest of the season. Gobert from Utah Jazz just tested positive for the coronavirus. So NBA is shutting it down. And shutting it down. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, man. Let's talk some NCAA basketball, bro. The Ivy League canceled their tourney, and Yale and Princeton, Yale men and the Princeton women, are automatic bids in that tournament, and you saw a lot of teams arguing against that. And then one of the stories that we didn't get to talk about in the first 40 is the women's tourney in UConn went 139-0. In the AAC, and they're moving to the Big East, which they should be. They need more competition. I think that's why they haven't been the team they were in the past, because it's just been too easy in the current conference they're in. But luckily, moving back to the Big East, they will have some more competitive games and teams that will be up for the challenge of playing them. What do you think about the UConn women going 139-0, bro?
Well, I mean, we always know that the conference is what it is, but that did not stop them from playing. They played everybody, though. Let's be real, okay? You can say that. That's an impressive feat, and they were dominant. But UConn didn't run from anybody back in the day, even in the earlier. They played. They had team scheduled in the conference, outside the conference. So they played heavyweights. So I wouldn't just say that, you know, wow, they weren't playing anybody. It's impressive. And you mentioned about the competition being a little bit more lackluster, but then the fact that they still went out and played other teams that were just as dominant, you know, in the same level and won championships speaks to it. I don't really get excited about it, particularly if you like the big bully that everybody expects you to win anyway. I mean, that's a lot of games to win. You never take anything away from the milestone that was set. But I'm not so like, oh, man, that's great. If you had a higher end of competition, then yeah, maybe so. But the record speaks for itself, I think.
All right. We got in our top 25 currently, Kansas number one. Gonzaga, they just wrapped up their tourney, and they have an automatic bid in. They're number two, Dayton. with Obi Toppin is number three. And you said, and I'll get back to you when you said about what you said about Dayton in the top 40. I want you to repeat that on this podcast. Also, Florida State, you've been rocking with Florida State for a number of years, and they're number four. Wondering if they can get that number one seed. They move up three to number four, and Baylor drops down to the number five, followed by San Diego State, Creighton, Kentucky, Michigan State. I'm falling in love with Michigan State all over again. They move up seven spots to the number nine position. They are playing hot right now, watching them playing in their last few games before they go into their tournament. You got Duke at number 10, Villanova at number 11, followed by Maryland, Oregon, BYU, Louisville, Seton Hall. They drop eight slots down to number 16, followed by Virginia. Virginia is slowly moving up. They're knocking off teams, grinding out wins. They're at number 17, followed by Wisconsin, who jumped up six spots. Ohio State is staying steady at number 19, followed by Auburn, Illinois, West Virginia, Houston, Butler, and Iowa. And Iowa dropped seven spots, and Butler dropped two spots in up in the top 25. You got Stephen F. Austin is one of the honorable mentions. You got Providence. I keep telling people Providence is a very, very sneaky team, followed by Michigan that dropped out of the top 25. Eastern Tennessee State got a chance to see them. Penn State's been playing tough all year. Utah State got an automatic bid. St. Mary's played against Gonzaga. Don't know if they're going to get in, but I think they should. Arizona Liberty got a chance to see them. They should get in. But give me your eye test, man, of the NCAA tourney, if it's even going to be played, to be honest with you.
Man, you that pessimist, man. I told you, they trying to get that money. Lot going on. I was surprised that Florida State moved back up to four, because I thought for some reason or another they would let San Diego State, they lost again, or Baylor, kind of move around there. So Kansas, Gonzaga, Dayton, Florida State, a lot going on. Michigan State was impressive by the way that they were able to defeat Ohio State recently. I think that says a lot about them. They might be back on the roll. Ohio State has been playing decent, but the old Michigan State showed up. And they beat them handily after Ohio State had won an impressive game earlier before. But they beat them handily, so that's a team to watch out for. Villanova, Maryland has the talent, but they just don't know how to win big games. And I think that's of a concern. We're saying the same thing now about Louisville, having some issues. Auburn is struggling. Illinois is just hanging around. Butler. Butler's trying to find a way to get in. I think that's going to surprise a lot of people. You mentioned earlier, too, I mentioned Dayton is number three in the country and on the first 40. Talked about Dayton being the number one seed. And I mentioned before that I might be wrong, but I think if Dayton plays a team with size, earlier in the season they played, and I think it was over in the Bahamas in the Atlantis tournament, and they lost to Kansas. Azubuike played real well. And I think a team with size and decent guard play might cause Dayton some problems. The other part I have a problem with Dayton is the fact that they were undefeated so far in the conference. And when they play strong. But will they be intimidated by the number one seed if they receive it? And I think it could be really rough for them in that the second round, because they'll probably end up playing a different type of seed over there. And you say to yourself, Where did they go? So, for instance, if you look at it from that standpoint, they would play maybe if they were number one seed, they'd probably play somebody like Northern Kentucky. And then after they play Northern Kentucky, they might fall into a playing the winner of 8-9 with maybe playing Colorado, the winner of Colorado or Florida. Then right after that, you drop into the winner. You could see Auburn or Louisville. Are they ready for that? Those are
right.
Three teams that I mentioned, Florida, Auburn, and Louisville, that could cause you problems as number one seed. That could be costly and tough. So I don't know. I mean, It's wide open. I think you're going to see players that have been there before, and then also coaches that have the experience are going to kind of try to win out and be tougher. But then you're going to have some other teams that are like East Tennessee State, you know, teams like that. You mentioned Rutgers, teams like that. And even a team like Colgate that's very good, that could surprise you. So I think it's going to be some upsets. You just never know how this plays out because the hot teams. The other thing I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for some teams in the NCAA tournament, watch hot teams, teams that run on string, win a number of games in succession. That's what lets you know whether or not they're ready. And the question is, will a team like Marquette make it? Marquette has lost 6 of their last 7. They struggle, but they like to have stars in the tournament. So we'll see. It's wide open. I love it.
I don't think Marquette's going to make it. I really don't. I don't think they're going to make it. I don't think their resume is strong enough. With Dayton, I think it's something to be said when because Dayton gave Kansas everything they can handle when they played them earlier this season. And to me, it's something to be said about teams that play you early. Is Dayton that same team that they played Kansas early in the season? Are they that same team or have they grown? And looking at Dayton, I think they've grown. I think they've grown. And if you play that game again, I can't say that Kansas would just run away. Even though I would love to see that matchup with Azubuike and the Big of Kansas against Obi Toppin, I would like to see that matchup again because that was a hell of a game when they played earlier this season. So I think it's something to be said, and maybe you'll disagree with this. I think it's something to be said that you play a team early in the season, you're still trying to kind of feel your way and build your chemistry and get your identity in the beginning of the season. But once you get towards this part of the season, you have some war victories and some battles, and you've grown from those battles, and you learn from the mistakes that you made earlier on the season and to make you the team that you need to be going into the tournament. What are your thoughts about maybe Dayton kind of, getting rid of some of those weaknesses that they had playing against big men, agile big men like Azubuike, and going into the tournament?
I mean, no doubt. I mean, you take nothing from them. I mean, they have grown. They've taken care of the business in their conference. They've been stronger. Tobin has been amazing. He had 18 points in the game against Kansas. The other big fella that they have, Mike Sale, had 19. So they played well. They played very well. They shot the ball well. But I think they just kind of ran in the end. It was an overtime game, too. They kind of ran into a buzzsaw. So the question is, can they deliver? The only issue, major issue they had was, well, I mentioned earlier about the big men. Azubuike had 29 points, and he only had 3 rebounds. 29 points. The other problem was Dotson, the guard, had 31. So it was a 1-2-3 punch, as Garrett had 18. The only reason why I say that, Tobin is a hell of a player. But these guys that they have, and I might be wrong, they may have a bad game, Dotson, Azubuike are future NBA players. And oftentimes
yes,
your stars rise up. They rise up. And the question is, does Dayton have enough in the tank? And they might. They might prove me totally wrong. And maybe I'm saying this with a bias because I was born and raised in Dayton. But my cousin and I said this. Flyers are playing real well, but the one thing we know about the Dayton Flyers is the Dayton Flyers. At some point, we've been watching them
forever.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I remember back in the 80s with Roosevelt Chapman, great team, and that's probably one of the best teams ever. And then we go back to way back 100 years ago with Jim Paxson. But it's Dayton, man, and that's what they do. They play real well, win a couple games, but in the end, we'll see. And maybe we've been watching them so long, it's a bias. They got to prove us wrong. I'm glad they're playing well. I hope they get a number one seed, but I'm not too excited like they're going to make a run to the Final Four. That's just me. I might be totally wrong. Maybe this is their year.
Any dark horses, man, that you could see coming out and getting in the Sweet 16 that we don't expect to be in the Sweet 16?
Let me see something here. Depending on how they play and where they're at, and I'm going to look at this real quick to see if I can
I know it's unfair to ask you now because we don't have the bracket.
Hey, it is what it is, man. That's why we do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we do this. One team, I think, it depends on where they are. They're low, where they're at. I like Auburn. I do.
Mm-hmm.
They've struggled, but if they're like a 5 seed, depending on who they play and where they're at, I like Auburn. I think the way that they're coming together, they're good. I think if the Gonzaga, I mean they're not a dark horse, but Gonzaga. Let's see who else. Florida State, Marquette, Arizona State. Wow. This team, if they shot better, could make a run. And nobody's talking about them. That's Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of players that get up and down. Let me see. One other one. We'll give you they get up and down, and they beat some very good teams early on. The problem is they're not as consistent as they should be. And one other one for you would be – no, they're not. Boom, 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 boom. They don't play well enough.
I'm surprised you didn't pick Texas Tech because I know you mentioned them in the first.
But the problem with Texas Tech, they played a lot of games. They've been beat up.
Mm-hmm.
They've been beat up, and there's been an issue with them. So I think they've been beat up. They played a lot of games. A lot of people have seen them struggle, but I like them. I mean, I like them, but I just don't know. One last team I'll throw that at you would be, boom, 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 boom. A team like you mentioned, like Providence.
Mm-hmm.
So they play hard. And I'm not saying they're going to Final Four. Depends on who they play. A team that plays gritty and nasty, the only problem is they may not score as many points, but I like their guards, is USC Southern Cal. Southern Cal beat UCLA the other day. Yeah, Southern Cal does not excite you. But the one thing about Southern Cal, they play hard defense. And most people don't understand, in their conference, they held the opponents to shooting 42% from the field for the season, from field goal percentage. So they come at you.
Okay.
And they take care of the ball. They play hard. And they make it ugly. They play ugly basketball. I know that's a lot going on, but a lot of the teams I said before, they're above the line of maybe 6 seed or above. So I tried to go somewhere different that most people are not talking about. There are some very good teams this year, and there are other teams that are supposed to be in the upper echelon that are not playing well. So it's going to be tough. My only problem with Texas Tech is they're 18-13 right now, and is that enough to get them in? And if they don't win a few games in the conference tournament, they might be on the outside looking in. It is a tough call this year. A very tough call for these teams, but I'm excited because I think we're going to have a lot of upsets. A lot of upsets.
Yeah.
And, it's anybody's ballgame.
Yeah, I'm looking at teams like Providence. I've been talking about them, and a lot of teams have been taking them seriously. Liberty, a team like Liberty that did some damage in the tournament's past. Belmont. Teams like that you don't really see. They're mid-majors, but you really don't see them that often. You got Liberty, who's won 30 games, 30-4. Some of these teams have a lot of seniors, experienced players. And I don't know, just watching mid-majors in the championship week really excites me for some reason. It excites me because they're playing hard, they're playing hungry, and they're hot at this particular time. I think what happens is that sometimes I think they win too early. They win their tournament too early, and they get a little time to kind of cool off before they get to the real deal. And sometimes that takes them out. And depending on who they are playing against, they may not fare well against those teams. I'm looking at teams like Mississippi State, but also going up in the top 25. I already mentioned Michigan State, but a team like I wouldn't call a team like Virginia a dark horse, but everybody kind of pushed Virginia to the side because they were ranked in the top five, and then they lost seven games. But I kind of see them gaining momentum as the season goes along. And as you see the season going along, you see Louisville kind of dropping a little bit closer down to Virginia, and Virginia kind of making that steady rise up. They both have similar records, but it just seemed like Virginia playing that slow, great defense, grinding the game out, slowing the game down. It just seems like they are going to be a hard team to play in a tournament, just like they were last year. They got a little help from the refs, but I ain't going to mention that. But they just seem like a hard team to play going into the tournament. Also, Villanova will be a hard team to reckon with going into the tournament. Also, a team like BYU, we don't get to see a lot, but they're going to be a hard team. Seton Hall, I'm not sure. A couple of weeks ago I said, you know, I could see them as a Final Four team. Unless they get their stuff together, I'm not sure if they can sneak in and get to a Sweet 16. It depends on where the bracket is. I could see Auburn also, but I could also see Illinois and West Virginia. Nobody's talking about Huggins out there and what the job he's doing in West Virginia, but this is not the same Bobby Huggins team. And so I think that's what people are expecting, the hard-pressing team and things of that sort. They're not the same team. They don't have the players back in the past that could do that. And they used to dub them as Press Virginia. They don't seem to be that particular team, but they're playing some good ball in that conference. Even though Kansas is going to take that conference, West Virginia is a team that I think that could sneak up on folks and get into a good situation where folks start paying attention to them. And also, I'm looking at Eastern Tennessee State also. Even though their record doesn't show that they're one of those teams that are dominant in their own conference even, I think those teams can get on a roll and kind of upset some teams, because this is the season of upsets, and we've been saying it's been parity throughout the whole league. So we may see a whole nother set of teams in the Sweet 16 that we're not used to seeing in college basketball. So I'll leave it the rest to you, man. Anything else you want to talk about as far as March Madness?
Yeah, there's one other team, and I was looking at the standings and also the ranking as you were talking. And one team that I always liked, I like the way that they compete, even though they lost a couple coaches and you don't put them always on your radar. But I like this team, and I think that in the right scenario, I'm not sure if they're going all the way or anything like that to even the Sweet 16, but I think they can win a couple ball games. That's Butler. I like the way Butler competes. Butler plays real good basketball, and they take on all comers. And I think you should watch out to see where Butler is set up in the brackets. And they play good fundamental basketball, and they can play with anybody. And to watch them, depending on where they're going to be placed, they could cause some trouble. They could cause some serious trouble because they had good matchups. They're not afraid of anybody. They always play tough. And I think that they could shock some people. And if they're on, they play good. They really don't get rattled. And they're fighting for their lives the last couple of weeks, trying to make sure that they got in. And depending on where they're at, it caused a lot of problems. Butler's a good team, so be careful. But keep an eye on Butler.
Yeah. Let's take a break and talk some NBA basketball, man. And something I wanted to mention about this feud with Barkley and Draymond Green, Charles Barkley and Draymond Green. I think it's hilarious. But I'm siding with Draymond Green on this, because championship says something. We'll take a break and come back right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show.
Crackers, beaners, goops, niggas, what we all got in common, hot cigarettes and liquor. The cancer might kill you or cirrhosis of the liver, but we still keep spinning on cigarettes and liquor. Cigarettes and liquor, cigarettes and liquor, run out and get show. Cigarettes and liquor, cigarettes and liquor, cigarettes and liquor, everybody's spinning on cigarettes and liquor. Cigarettes and liquor, cigarettes and liquor, better go get show. Cigarettes and liquor, cigarettes and liquor, cigarettes and liquor, everybody needs a cigarettes and liquor. I got 20 little soldiers lined up in a row. But you want one, homie, man? Here you go. Killing myself, I might as well kill you. Matter of fact, second thought, go ahead and take two. My hands in my breath smelling like straight doo-doo. Couple years from now, I'ma sound like guru. I don't know what to do, I really need to quit. Teeth so yellow, they can butter up the quick. I can't quit, it's a celebrity in vain. The stress and the strain from the whole rap game. Look, I know it's lame, but what's your excuse, man? Credit card, rent late, your wife found a new man. I understand, we all got a problem. You should kill yourself slowly and you hope that that'll solve them. It's in my genes, man, my family tree. My mother smoked, my father smoked, and handed it to me. My little brother, he been smoking since the fourth grade. Smoking stress blunt, then he chased it with some E&J. Drinking smoke and it might stunt your growth. But he's 6'4" and he been doing both. Smoke all you want, coast cigarette crazy. That cancer get your ass, don't go crying like a baby. Cause chemo radiation, man, it ain't no fun. You better get your ass a patch or some cigarette gun. Crackers, beaners, goops, niggas, what we all got in common, hot cigarettes and liquor.
Welcome back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. It's Puma along with Icewater. We're talking some sports here. We're going to go into the NBA. Of course, probably people have heard the news even before they heard the podcast that the NBA has suspended the rest of the season. Gobert from the Utah Jazz has contracted the coronavirus, and they're going to use this as a hiatus to figure out what they're going to do. But as we know, the NBA season is suspended, and this is probably going to hurt ESPN a lot because what are they going to do? And TNT also, what are they going to do down the stretch? No NBA games, Ice.
Well, you know, they'll be all right. They made a lot of money. They will it'll be time for them to kind of get themselves together as well. I mean, they say, notice they didn't say it was not the end of the year. They said a suspension. They had suspended activity.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to get their ducks in a row. And time for everybody to take a break. And actually, it would be kind of perfect. Cause the NCAA goes through.
Yeah. You're right.
They come in right after that. And it would be like, no, you're good. Right after that, then it's like, okay, everything went through there. And the total focus then would be totally on the NBA. So, could work in their favor.
Yeah. So they wouldn't be because I was thinking they suspend the season, go right to playoffs, but they could just suspend the season and then go right back from where they left off and then finish it off and then finish the NBA season, and usually ends in June, ended in July if they started up in a month or so.
Yeah, they could do that too. However they want to deal with it. So they still have time. The only thing going on right there would be baseball and WNBA. The only problem with that with WNBA is would the arenas be open or where they're playing, but I'm sure they would just scale that back as well too because the NBA is the show. So they would work it out. I think, again, they just want to pull back, see what the situation is, check everything out, make sure everything's back on point, everybody's healthy, and then they will bring you back to live action.
All right. Let me give part of my NBA eye test. I was able to see some games earlier on this week, and one of the teams that I was kind of focused on is Houston because I was wondering about the small ball approach, and they are ranked number 6 in the playoffs right now, and that's not going to be good for them because they play Denver in that 6 spot. But I'm thinking, Ice, that they're going to fall to either number 7 or I can't see them falling to number 8. I can see them falling to number 7. And if they fall to number 7, guess who's waiting there for them? The LA Clippers. I don't think they want that. I really don't. They think they want the L.A. Clippers in the first round of the playoffs. But that's where they're headed because the Dallas Mavericks are one game behind them, or not even maybe two games behind them. And Dallas probably wants an easier opponent. And so because I don't see Dallas wanting the Clippers also. So they're going to be trying to play a little bit harder. And I just think that Houston's going to fall one more spot. I can't see OKC because they're tied with OKC. They both have the same record as we speak right now, 40-24. But OKC is 8-2 in their last 10, and Houston is 6-4 in their last 10. And the games that I did see Houston, when they get out-rebounded because they don't have big men that could clean the boards, they lose. They lose or they have tougher games. And so I'm seeing that. Also, in my eye test, I'm seeing you got three Eastern teams already clinched playoff spots with Milwaukee, Toronto, and Boston. So Miami's trying to get into a better spot. Indiana is playing a little bit better now. Last 10, they're 7-3 in the last 10. And you got Orlando there. We don't talk a lot about Orlando. They're 6-4 in their last 10. They're 30-35. But Washington is not going to catch them, I don't think. Brooklyn is playing pretty decent ball, 500 ball, pretty decent ball. Dinwiddie and LeVert are playing at a high level. We talked about in the first 40 their coach, former coach, not wanting to stick around and coach Durant and Kyrie Irving because he says that they're kind of changing the culture of the team and things that he built that they're kind of destroying. And the Brooklyn Nets and the coach decided to part ways, mutually part ways. I tend to agree with them because we're in a day and age now where I think it's always been that case, Ice, where you have players that kind of dictate to coaches and kind of could move coaches around. I remember Magic Johnson with Paul Westhead and the class they had there. So you always had that. But now you're kind of seeing these marquee players really kind of ignoring some of the coaches because they don't make as much money as the players. And in the NBA, the players are the league. And so I can see where this happened with the Boston Nets where Kyrie Irving probably doesn't really like the coach or KD doesn't really like the coach. They want their own guys in there. They feel they play a certain way. Or they said, you know, I respond to this, so I'm not responding to what you're doing, but I respond to this better. And so the ownership is kind of allowing this. I want to get your eye test, but also your thoughts about the players kind of running things. And where do you see this kind of in the long run or long term ending up with players kind of running the league and kind of running coaches out of different teams? And these are some great coaches. Look at Billy Donovan. When he got rid of when Durant left and then Westbrook left, he's doing a hell of a job at OKC.
Yeah, and let's start right there with the latter. It's what it is. It's the way that this NBA is set up now. It is a players' league. When they promote the league, it's about this player, that player, or these players. And a lot of money was being spent by these teams to bring in these marquee players. So, of course, I think unless there's something totally different or you have a strong general manager, a lot of these marquee players are going to have the say-so, or they're going to definitely be listened to. They're going to be able to provide their opinion as to what's right. And no disrespect to the Brooklyn coach, but that was then. This is now. So you had set it up where everybody listened to you and you had a certain way you ran the team. Great. But now you have two new superstars coming in. And granted, should they follow your league? Most would say yes. But this is about a lot of money was spent to bring these guys in. If you don't get along with them, not saying you have to kiss their butts or anything, but if you can't find a way to make it work, then maybe it is time for you to leave. You know, I hear people, we're talking about this, but nobody's really talking about the time when Doug Collins was removed from the Chicago Bulls with Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan came back to him, but, you know, Doug Collins just had a different kind of style. He's a little bit more louder and they weren't looking for that. They brought in Phil Jackson, the rest is history. You look at teams like that. You look at one of your favorite guys, Mark Jackson, one of the first guys to kind of come up and introduce the Splash Brothers, kind of got Golden State on their way. But he has some personal views, religious views, I think, that were over the top to some. And then considering the background of the general manager, it was time for him to go. And he has not received a call back since then, as far as that we know of being a coach. So coaches have, unless they're legendary coaches and they have strong backing of a general manager, they have a lot of good they can do, but you got to be realistic. You know, you are a coach and you don't run the league. And only a few are able to kind of come in and dictate what they want to do. Others have to just kind of move on. Not to say that this coach is not a good coach, but you got to learn how to deal with it, because when you have those kind of guys, also, too, that shows, too, if you're able to kind of not say just give in totally, but kind of work with a certain superstar, and because with superstars, coaches have to find a way to earn their respect. They just do. You have to, and that doesn't mean you got to try to tell them what to do, but they have to at least respect you and think that you understand how to coach the game. So I'm not surprised by it. It's sad, but it is what it is. Players are players' league. And looking at the, as you mentioned, looking at the NBA, the eye test, ironically, this is how crazy this is. Before we even on the air, I put together a NBA playoff bracket just out of curiosity. And what if the season ended today and it almost did to a – almost funny, almost did in it. And I was like, what would happen? So anyway, okay, the Lakers had impressive wins that we know over the Clippers and also over Milwaukee. So everybody's excited about that. But the teams I mentioned earlier that you might want to look for, because they're playing real well, and that is OKC. OKC is in the fifth slot, 9.5 back of the Lakers, they're right there with Utah, who's in the fourth slot. So OKC's playing well. With Chris Paul, Shea Gilgeous, Alexander, Schroeder, and then also Adams. They're playing real well, and they'll take on any comers. I'm nervous about that for that team. You mentioned Houston, too, but Houston, I think, is going to try to do everything they can to stay away from Dallas. Because if it comes out today, Denver's in the third slot. They were to play today, end of the season. Houston's a sixth slot, so Denver will play Houston. I like that matchup for Houston. I like Denver, but with Westbrook and Harden together, I like that. I think Denver would have to do everything they can to kind of to get over that, and they possibly could, but I think that's a great matchup. The other matchup that I would like, too, would be 4 and 5, Utah versus OKC. I think that's perfect for OKC to kind of get in there and slide into an upset. On the East, Milwaukee is doing really taking care of business, hands down. They've already made it. In fact, Toronto, Boston, and Milwaukee have all clinched berths in the playoffs. But this started today. It would be interesting because I said earlier in the first 40. In the first round, 4 and 5 matchup will be Miami versus Indiana. Indiana's not reached their potential that we thought they would so far, and maybe it's next year. But if they win that, you could see possibly Miami and Milwaukee in the second round. And we know Miami is the team that's really been giving Milwaukee fits because of the way that they play defense versus on the Greek Freak. And then you move down even onto the East. You would have Toronto and Brooklyn, 2 and 7, and Boston and Philly in the first round. Let's say Boston advances. You could have Boston versus Toronto in the second round. That could be tough. Those are great games. So Boston beats Philly, then they have to come back and face Toronto. We're talking about real quick matchups. So we'll find out what happens, but I like the way it's coming together. I hope they're able to get back on the court and get everything cleared up, because I think particularly with not a dominant team out there in the NBA like a Golden State, I think it's wide open. Everybody likes the Lakers. People like Milwaukee. But I don't think it's clear cut as that. I think there's a lot of teams that are ready. I think you should watch out for the Clippers. I know that's easy to say, but I'm going to say that because of the factor that some of the moves that they made, picking up Morse, the other Morse brother, and then the other one that they kind of slid right by you, nobody really paid attention to, was picking up Joakim Noah, who's been put him on a 10-day contract with the Clippers. He's
right.
been arrested for about 4 years. So he's like coming out of ice.
and you got to know the history between Noah and LeBron. It's some bad blood between those two.
Noah's well
move.
Rested. Noah's well rested.
Yeah.
He hasn't played in like 4 years. Really played. Kind of like putting him on the shelf. Break glass in case of emergency. Doc Rivers and that team over there, they know exactly what the hell they're doing. That's how the old Bulls did it and some of the other veteran teams that won. They went out and got older guys, and they just held them just in case they needed them. Nothing else, you can get 6 great fouls from Noah on LeBron and memorable fouls memorable fouls that he won't forget. You can frustrate him. And at the end of the day, it is a mind game. So, I think that's a great pickup for them.
that's a good mention, man. Because I saw that and I'm like, well, what are they doing? And then when you start talking about it, I'm like, oh yeah, bad blood. All right, man. let's talk about quickly Barkley and Green, man. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the Twitter war between Barkley and Green, but I don't know why people are messing with Draymond Green, because here's what I'm looking at Draymond Green. A year when Golden State had a down year, you don't hear any bad things happening from Draymond Green. What he's been doing is coaching up the younger guys, and it's almost like he's preparing whoever's going to be on that team next year to come back next year with that team to make a run at the NBA title. But it seemed like Charles Barkley has it in for Draymond Green, and they've been going at it for years. What are your thoughts about this war between Draymond Green and Charles Barkley?
Well, I mean, the part of it is, too, I don't know if Charles Barkley is a little jealous of Draymond Green because he has a ring or two and something to that effect. You know, he sees himself in him, where he sees how much greater he could be. I don't know how that works. But when the guy's similar type of game, or he may be a little bit more versatile, Draymond Green, that is, because of the game, the way it's played. Maybe Charles Barkley thinks he can do much more. And it's hard being an older guy talking stuff when you think that a guy can do so much, another player can be so much better. I think they're always going to have that. I don't think it's really a lack of respect. I think it's just some, like, just talking because that's what he's paid to do. But I think after a while, Draymond Green is probably just frustrated by it. And, you know, he says, hey, how many rings you have, Chuck?
End of argument to me.
It's not the end of argument.
To me, it
Charles
is.
Well, Charles Barkley clearly is not going to let that go. He's like, well, you know, if I ran on the team and all of that don't carry me, that takes it to another level. And Charles Barkley will always say, who's in the Hall of Fame? Are you? Will you ever be in the Hall of Fame? So you, no matter what you say, when you throw that, I have rings, he's going to come the other way. So it's almost an argument I think that's never going to end, because that's just how it is. And now it's easy to pick on him because the team is not winning. If they were winning and it was an old Golden State, you wouldn't hear Charles Barkley run his mouth a little bit, but he wouldn't be talking so much because they'd be winning. And it would seem like he's more of an antagonist, a person that's really just picking at something because of their success. That's not the case this year.
Well, I always felt that Charles Barkley wasn't really coachable, and that was to his detriment. And I think he would always read his press clippings and think he was bigger than the team, even though he had some great mentors in Moses Malone and Julius Erving. He just didn't get it. And then he tried to chase that ring with the Phoenix Suns, and you had a nice team with the Phoenix Suns, but you just couldn't get it. And even Michael Jordan said, you know, Charles is lazy. He's not going to work hard enough to become the player that he should be. Excuse me. And that's why I think that he did not achieve, and Michael Jordan had a lot to do with that too, playing in the East. He did not achieve getting those rings. But don't sleep on Draymond Green. Draymond Green is the glue of that. To me, he was the glue, and still is the glue of the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors wouldn't have paid Draymond Green and kept Draymond Green if they didn't think he was valuable. And to me, he was just as valuable as Seth and Clay and all the folks that contributed to those wins. And that guy could step back and get rebounds and get triple doubles and quadruple doubles. And be the glue of that team and giving them what they need instead of trying to say, well, I need my shots too. I think that says a lot about him and his character. And even though, you know, he's done some bonehead moves and fouls and all that stuff, you can see that this guy has grown over the years. And when he had a child, he even said, hey, I saw my son acting like me on the court. I had to change. When has Charles Barkley really changed his attitude and things when he's done some bonehead things? He just seemed like he was just a bonehead throughout his whole career, and it didn't amount to getting the ring or helping his team get the ring when he could have stepped and done some other things to help his team. So I can see what Charles saying, I didn't have the talent, but yes, you did. You had some talented teams that you played for. You just tried to you were so overbearing and wanted to shine and wanted to be the all-star and wanted to be the Michael Jordan of your team, that you didn't allow folks that were talented on your team to kind of become a team and to go farther than they did. Am I off base with this, Ice?
No, but when you say Charles Barkley had a team, I guess my question is, when you look at his teams, I'm not sure how talented they were. I mean, because you look at it, and when he was the focal point, that's my only question. Because you could always say when he played with this guy or played with that guy, then, yeah, they could have been better. But I think that he was a work in progress. And then you mentioned, too, that he was uncoachable. My only issue with that is coaches let players be who they are. And after he had a reputation, he started going a certain way, then you can't change his game. I'll put one in point out there that a lot of people will not like, and I'm going to say it, but I think that it wasn't a detriment, but I think it changed the way whether or not this guy won championships. I always look at Allen Iverson, and everybody right. loves his game and what he did for the game and the culture and all, and that's great. He was a hell of a player. I think he's a decent person, but to me, I think that Allen Iverson, the way that he was allowed to play the game, coming in as a two-guard shooting and scoring and being this phenomenon, hurt his game and hurt his chances to win, because I don't think he trusted a lot of his teammates, and he didn't right. have anybody that he would pass the ball. To me, he should have played the point guard. He should have been a point, and they should have surrounded him with players, because he was one of the best point guards at Georgetown that we've seen in a long time. When you put him in the NBA right. All-Star game, he's doing phenomenal passes, which tells me he didn't trust his guy. But I put that on a coach like Larry Brown. Why put him in a position where he just wait and catch and shoot? He's more dangerous when he's handling the ball. I think he's Isaiah Thomas to the 12 power at the point. But they didn't get put enough people around him. They're surrounded enough with decent players that he truly respected. And if they did, then he'd been a better player. But he was that enigma, that guy you wanted like that. And I think Charles Barkley is in the same realm. So, I mean, to me, that's how it goes. You can say what you want to about Michael Jordan, and he might be the greatest player of all time, depending on who you ask. But the one thing they did do, they surrounded him with the right core of people. And the other thing, too, is they surrounded him with a great coaching staff. I had a chance to talk to Jim Clemens about that same thing, and the first thing he said was, out the box, as coaches, they knew how to approach the Bulls. They respected them as men. And he said the only reason why we're able to win championships is because they allowed us to coach them, to teach them. Not so much being their coach, but they allowed us to teach them. They bought in, and once they bought in, they saw that we knew what the hell we were talking about, and we won. And that's what you have to do with great players. You had to, like you mentioned about Durant and those guys, you had to get them to buy in. Durant could have been a butthole in Golden State, acting some kind of way, but he bought in because he wanted to win. Sometimes that's hard to do. I get that. But you have to get these guys to buy in, and they have to respect who they're dealing with. And if they don't, they're never going to win. They're just going to be a guy who passed stats, gets close, and you're going to talk about how great he was in the same way with Barkley. He was limited on the skill set, but they didn't have the right people around him. It just the Phoenix, you mentioned about that Phoenix team, they came at a bad time. Everybody was losing to Jordan. People panicked. Cleveland Cavaliers panicked. Got rid of Ron Harper. They panicked. Everybody panicked. But, hell, if everybody losing to the Bulls, remain calm and make small changes. Anyway, I could go on that all night. I'm just saying that I just think that you got two guys here that are they're good, might be decent guys, but they're in a situation. One thinks he could be better, should be better. The other guy's like, I'm doing the best I can, and they're always coming for one another. And I think that's just what it is.
I see a pay-per-view fight coming, but that's on another note. Anything on the baseball report other than Barry Bonds saying, hey, man, they're doing me wrong, bro. They're doing me wrong. They got me in the death sentence.
Well, I'll say this. I'm going to talk about baseball real quick. I'm not going because we're not really into it. But a lot of things are going on. Teams are in spring training. I will say this. You more not like it. I saw where Mr. Cole got touched up for 4 home runs in the spring training game.
Yes, it don't count yet.
Yeah, I know it. But I watched it. I said, I don't think that ever happened in Houston. Maybe because they're banging the trash cans. Anyway, but they don't do that in New York. But that's
first time I ever.
But yeah, but I found that ironic to see that happen. I don't think they said ever happened in his career. But in regards to, the spring training is coming along, and it's going to be interesting because a lot of moves were made. I'm just looking forward to the season starting. Hopefully, this virus really won't affect baseball too much either. We'll see what happens. But in regards to Barry Bonds, honestly, I'm surprised it took him this long to say it. I really am. He's been quite quiet. Cool. He hasn't said anything, to my understanding. And I think I'm surprised it took this long. But truthfully, in my opinion, I think he's right. I think he's right. And I said it from the beginning. There are certain writers, certain people that they don't want Barry Bonds in the league because they thought he was he was asinine, he was a butthole. They didn't like his game, but his stats speak for themselves. And then you throw in the alleged PEDs or what have you, steroids, then that's another strike. But I find it ironically, I always said this, how in the heck can you support Mark McGwire and Roger Clemens going in, but you can't let Barry Bonds in? There's no difference.
Yeah.
I said if you're just the 80s or whatever you're doing, just put an asterisk next to all their names and let them in. That's what I think you should do. You can say at this point they went to trial, we found them, whatever. We did not find them, but we had them on there. But there was suspicion of them, but they're one of the greatest players of all time. You got to get past that now because now you're starting to put other guys in there that – were nowhere near
talent. That don't deserve to be there. Yeah.
And there's no disrespect to those guys, but when you look at the rules and you truly didn't really come up with any guilty verdicts, then how can you continue to hold that over their heads? And that's what baseball does. They do things ass backwards sometimes. They want to kind of convict you for something they had 15 years ago. So if you came up with guilty pleas and you know you had – they were found guilty, yeah, but they weren't. So you need to get over yourselves and let those guys in. Then, of course, the people will come back with the Pete Rose thing. Sorry, Pete. Pete just wasn't smart, man. Pete would have been in by now.
Cool.
Pete was so desperate to get in that he signed that paper.
I think baseball has an issue with putting an asterisk by anybody's name. They want that game and that book of Hall of Famers to be so perfect that they don't want anybody questioning or any kind of bad kind of press on putting an asterisk and having to explain why they put an asterisk on a Hall of Famer. And it's almost like they try to keep it so perfect that sometimes it kind of hurts them in a sense. because it's the sports writers that do this. And maybe until every sport writer that Barry Bonds crossed forgives him, he's not going to get in. He only has two more chances to get in.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, but I think that's wrong. It's like there's those individuals that will, one or two guys won't vote because they don't want to have unanimous induction into the league. Who the hell are you? That's my problem. I think they should let the voting be known publicly. Because it's like, tell us why you didn't let that person in. Because, I mean, that's another point where the media is being overzealous, like they own this situation. It's not about you. Granted, you are the major voters. You make the decisions. But for you to just do this because you don't like a guy or you feel like some kind of way, like you are you have a certain prestigious honor that should be bestowed upon you, it's garbage, man. But then they'll be like cowards and won't tell you who it was, who abstained or the person that was not that voted. No, come on, man. Just tell us. So then that way, if you feel a certain kind of way, you don't like a person, and you had your reasons, then say it. Be a man. You know, that's garbage to me. The weak. So I don't know. I think sooner or later they're going to find a way to get Barry Bonds in there and Roger Clemens. Pete Rose won't get in until after he dies. No disrespect, but that's what that is. He ain't getting in until after he dies, bro. Well, Barry Bonds and Clemens can get in.
Yeah. Let's switch to football. NFL football, man. Dak Prescott is either getting an offer or got the offer from the Dallas Cowboys, man. I think it's a good offer, and I think this is the best he's going to get. What are your thoughts about that?
He better run over to the Cowboys Stadium and sign that paper. And whoever his agent is, unless he doesn't want to be there, tell him to tag him in and he can earn his money, because that's the best you're going to get from Dallas. That's
right.
The best they're going to give you. So you want to try somewhere else and try to force their hand, not going to happen. That's the best they're going to give you. If you want to play somebody somewhere else, tell them to tag you, play one more year and move on somewhere like Chicago. But I hope he's receiving good counsel, because I can't count that man's money, but I'm only going to say what the Cowboys are going to offer him. And if he doesn't take this, then I'm sure they'll be looking at something else.
Yeah, yeah. We ended up first 40 all agreeing. Sign that contract, man. Sign that contract. Maybe he's waiting for the collective bargaining agreement. But I would sign that contract, man. It's way more than I think that I thought that he was going to get. And guaranteed, too? Wow. You saw, I believe, one great fight. I saw one great fight last weekend. It wasn't the main event. But hopefully I'm pronouncing these names right. Zing Wali, who is from China, who fought Joanna Jędrzejczyk, I think that's the name. I can't pronounce these names, but that was one of the best fights. I usually don't watch women fight. I don't like to watch women fight. But after seeing Romero and Israel Adesanya, I'm like, oh, my God, these women outshine the men in the UFC. And I'm sorry, Israel, I saw you last night on the MMA show on ESPN. You can come up with all the excuses you want on what you did and how you did it in the fight, but I doubt anybody will pay a pay-per-view to watch you be scared going up against Romero or another challenger. The performance you two put up that night, not worth pay-per-view. Put you on regular ESPN. But your thoughts on those matches last week, man?
Yeah, I know you don't like watching the women, but I'm gonna tell you something. Zhang or Yang, and Joanna J. She, man, that's probably one of the best fight I've ever seen in MMA, particularly with women. Just the contact alone. I've never seen two women go after each other like that, and I was impressed. And I know you don't like it, but I had to text you and tell you, you need to watch this fight, man, because they are
– Yeah, you did. You did. Yeah.
And you saw
can I straighten out something real quick before I let you go on? is I'm not being chauvinist and not watching women fight. I just don't like women hitting each other. And that's a pet peeve with me. But I'll get over that because these women are really showing that they can match up with the men. It's not a chauvinist thing. It's just that I just have this thing about women getting hit and women hitting each other. And so please understand that, anybody listening.
Oh, yeah.
But go ahead, Ice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, you have your right to your opinion, brother. That's all. I mean, you have a right. If you don't like to see that type of violence, there's nothing wrong with that. I know you had to watch that fight.
Yeah, that was a great fight. It was a great fight. I had to stand around and applaud for that one. They put on the show.
Yeah, you saw how the hematoma toa that was on that how her head swole up like that.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe that. I've never seen anything like that in my life, and they were just going to eat at one another. Yeah, but it was great. The other fight though, Israel Adanja versus Romero. And I hear you talk about Israel, and I know he didn't really bring it to himself, but I'm kind of like Dana White. Romero was doing a lot of talking, and he didn't really come forward. And the guy's a champion. Why didn't you come forward? He totally changed the way he fought. He's been known as a guy that comes after you and get ready to knock you out, and he waited till the last minute to try to say, if you're running, I'm not going to be able to catch you. No. I remind people all the time. Me and my other buddy talk about this all the time. When Marvin Hagler fought Sugar Ray Leonard, and to this day people swear that Hagler beat Leonard. But my problem with it is, if, and this is a bias sometimes that judges have, if they are used to, are they accustomed to you having a more of an aggressive style, because that's what you're known for, knocking people out, knocking people down. And then all of a sudden you want to change up and run and box and play games and stuff and then expect to get a win? I think that's what happened with Romero. I don't think he came forward. I don't think he engaged. If you really want to go after a guy, because it was clear, I will admit, in my opinion, it was clear that Israel was being very cautious. Very cautious. And that's not normally how it goes. Because he knew of the knockout power of Romero. I get that. But my only problem with Romero is, if you know that's the case, go after the guy. Go after him. He didn't do that. He's like, we got to come to me. No, he's the champion. That's my only problem with him. Go after the guy. And then if he's still running, as you go after him, okay, yeah. But I just don't feel he was aggressive enough.
So what you're saying is that boxers can't change their styles and based on who they fight and what advantages they could get? Because I just saw Israel kicking the guy in the back of the leg. Okay, yeah. And then after the fight, see his leg? I messed his leg up. And I'm like, dude, come on, man. This is pay-per-view. If you this guy that's supposed to be tearing everybody apart, you wanted this guy on your resume as far as on your record as beating him. And in all honesty, I don't think he beat Romero. And the crowd even kind of chimed in at the end that I don't think Israel beat Romero. I really don't. And so for him to beat his chest, laying there with an interview with lip gloss on, talk about how he had to come to me and do all this stuff. And, you know, Dana White, talking to Dana White afterwards, like, well, you know what type of fighter I am. Well, if that's my first time seeing you, I have no idea what type of fighter you are based on that fight.
No, I mean, I understand that, and I'm not saying that you can't change your style. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean by that. But I will say, though, and I will contend that in boxing, and particularly in MMA, that the judges, when they're accustomed to seeing you fight a certain way, and if you do change up and you're not aggressive and you're not scoring points using that other style, I think they hold that against you, and I think that was the case with him. And I think if he would have just came together, and a couple times that he did hit Israel, he stunned him one time, and he's more the aggressor. But I think he should have done more of that, because I think Israel got away with it one because the way he did damage his leg. And you can see how loud it was. Did he look great? No, he didn't. But I think that Romero, if you want something, you got to go for it. We talked before about we didn't know whether or not John Jones legitimately won his last fight because he didn't look that great.
Mm-hmm.
But at least the guy came towards mm-hmm. him. I was more into that guy possibly winning that with this Romero guy. Romero danced and was trying to act. He played too many games. One thing you said about Marvin Hagler, besides the Sugar Ray Leonard fight, he came to fight. He came to fight. But when he didn't fight and tried to run around the ring like Sugar Ray Leonard, try to beat him at his own game, he lost that fight. The other times, you have to be aggressive. You got to come forward. So I don't know. It's wide open, but I guess we'll have to agree to disagree on that one, brother.
Yeah. I posted something the other day on the Boom Squad Sports Radio page, the Sugar Ray Robinson and Floyd Mayweather Sr. fight. One of the best fights I've ever seen Sugar Ray Leonard fight, because I know back in the day, a lot of people questioned, even I did, question Sugar Ray Leonard's toughness. But if you see that fight, you see the toughness of Sugar Ray Leonard just going after. And then I posted another video, the whole interview, not the whole interview, but the first part of the interview with Mike Tyson when he had Sugar Ray Leonard talking about the person he is now and talking about how Sugar Ray Leonard inspired him and saying that people don't understand. I understand this, but I know you understand it. The ability or the art to throw two punches and make them seem like one. The art of throwing that, and Sugar Ray Leonard is one of the best at that, along with Muhammad Ali. But if you have a chance, who out there listening, go check out those videos on our page, on the Goon Squad Sports Radio page. Any other thoughts on the UFC or boxing? I know there was a heavyweight fight, and my boy from Brooklyn, the Polish dude from Brooklyn, got beat last week. What do you think about that fight?
Yeah, I think that he was surprised. He wasn't really ready. And when you don't come in prepared, and also, too, I'm not going to belabor the point, but I think he kind of came in with a lot of expectation and a lot of hype. And
yes, he did.
I think he
deserved it.
Okay,
you
that's,
know,
fair.
He was laying people out. You know, he was laying people out before the fight.
But I think, too, that you had to look at the competition that he was facing. That's my only problem with that.
Right.
Then it's kind of like when Anthony Joshua finally came to America, where all of the Brits talking about how great he was, and he get over here and he lays an egg against a guy clearly that everybody knew he thought he should have beat. So, I mean, let's see you first before we start giving you all the accolades. And sometimes guys come up short. It doesn't mean you're not a great champion, a great athlete, but – when you, like I told somebody else before, it's a difference between good and great. It really is. So before we start handing out Hall of Fame plaques, let's let them fight a little bit and earn a little bit of that against some quality opponents.
Any other fights that are on the horizon that we should be looking out for?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of. I think they had – is the fight with – let me see if I can find it real quick. The Lomachenko fight.
Mm-hmm.
Is that with Garcia? I'm trying to see this real quick, see if I can find it. But I think he's fighting a definitely formidable opponent. So trying to see here.
I know I caught you a little short on that.
No, you're good. I'm just trying to figure out, but continue talking, and I'll find it here in a minute. But we're looking at that, then, of course. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I said, but then we're going to be looking at the Fury and Wilder fight. So that's going to be interesting as well. I think, you said, my son is fighting this weekend. My son is fighting this weekend. Shakur Stevenson versus Miguel Miraga. Yeah, my son is fighting. We're calling my son.
We got to call Morris.
My son is.
We got to call
Morris. Yeah, my son, is fighting on the. Yeah, my son is fighting on the 14th, so you might want to turn it on. He's always showing us some great fights. So yeah, you need to watch my son so you can see him getting it in, putting in major work, major work. Yeah.
I'm sitting here. We got about 6 minutes left to go, and DePaul is up by 3 with 1:38 left over Xavier in the Big East. In the Big East Conference Tournament. It would be great to see UConn, the UConn women, back in the Big East, because the DePaul women, they got some strong teams in the Big East. as far as the women teams and college in college basketball. So it'll be good to see DePaul and UConn go at it, and some of the teams, the strong teams in women's basketball. But man, the shocker of our show is the NBA suspends the season until further notice because of Rudy Gobert test positive for coronavirus. Any other thoughts on sports, whatever you want to talk about, man, I'm leaving the floor open for you while we run this time down.
I was looking at that fight. That was Vasily Lomachenko versus Teofimo Lopez, the number one and two in lightweight. They have not set a date yet, but Lopez is 15-0, a younger guy. And that's a fight a lot of people wanting to see. Also, we're getting rumblings in, too, for those that don't know, that Gervonta Davis may be talking, fighting with Leo Santa Cruz. Another fight we'd like to see down the line. So, yeah. So, Leo Santa Cruz. It will be interesting to see if that came about. So, there's a lot going on. Supposedly, now that Canelo Alvarez might be fighting Joe Saunders on May 2nd in Las Vegas. That might be interesting, but it always seems like Canelo Alvarez chooses a guy that's pretty much safe.
Yeah, because I was going to ask who is that?
Yeah, well, Joe Saunders has been around for a while. I think he's won a lot of number of fights, but he's fought overseas, across the pond. And so that's been interesting. But I think eventually what you're going to end up seeing is down the line, it might be at the end of the year, if he gets through this, that in the fall or early 2021, we'll see him. That's Canelo again back in the ring with Triple G and Nadia Golovkin. So just because that's where the money is.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully, we'll have some sports to talk about. This virus doesn't ruin everything. Ruin my trip. Ruin us going back to Dawn Dance and what before. It may ruin our sporting events as we know it, since we won't be watching the NBA or maybe college basketball, but we'll see. Wow. This is never seen this before in my life. But, wow, this may make more news than the presidential race at this particular point. Final thoughts, man, your parting shot.
Yeah, the parting shot is you want everybody to be healthy and really learn as much as you can about this virus, because it appears as if the country at hand is taking a lot more precautions and some of the things that you love. But most importantly, besides the sports, even if they cancel everything, take care of yourself. That's the most important thing. People need to understand that and realize that it's just sports. There's more to life than sports. Take it from a lifelong athlete and sports person, sports fan. But put this all in perspective. A lot of people are not here and wish they were.
Yeah. I appreciate that, you saying that. One of the things that I wanted to say is I put up a video of my personal post. I think I'm going to put it up on the Goon Squad, is where two kids are getting ready to fight, and you made a comment with that. You need to laugh before you What a cutest video. I love to see kids in sports and in contact sports and things of that sort, because they're so innocent and it's so funny. And these two kids, I have to put it up, describe a little bit. They're getting ready to fight, and one of the kids just start running around, you know, the gym, and it doesn't engage in fighting. One wants to, but they kind of don't know what to do. And it just reminds me when my son was little, and I had my daughter, they playing T-ball. Both of them playing T-ball. And my daughter was on the hot corner on third base, and she was just, you know, doing her thing. And my son was out in the outfield just picking daffodils. You never know. You just never know. Let kids be kids, man. That's our show. We will be back next week. We will see you. Take care.
Somebody should have told me it would be like this, be like this, be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Yeah. Life is a balance. You lose your grip, you can slip into an abyss. No doubt, you see these niggas tripping. Ego in charge of every move, he's a star. And we can't look away due to the days that he caught our hearts. He's falling apart, but we deny it. Justifying a half-assed shit he dropped, we always buy it. When he tell us he a genius, but it's clearer lately. It's been hard for him to look into the mirror lately. There was a time when this nigga was my hero, maybe. That's the reason why his fall from grace is hard to take. Cause I believed him when he said his shit was pure, ain't he? The type of nigga swear he real, but all around him fake.